Find, if you would please, Daniel chapter number 6. We were there last week, the 6th chapter of the book of Daniel. This morning, I am finishing a series that I started, I believe, about 10 or 12 weeks ago. A series that was brought to my heart and my mind by the Holy Spirit of God. But God used a book written by one of the great men of faith back in the day, Dr. A.W. Tozer. Dr. Tozer, like many of the preachers today and many of the national men of faith that I would say you find on the radio and those that are pastoring churches, have begun to see a difficulty and a problem that churches are facing. That problem and that difficulty he described with the words spiritual lethargy, almost a sleepiness that had infiltrated the church, an apathy that has done great harm not only to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also to the world. You know, the world may not understand. I know they don't understand. And when I say the world, I'm talking about the peoples of the world now. I'm talking about those that do not know the Lord Jesus. They don't understand how much they need a Holy Spirit-filled, empowered church for the Lord Jesus Christ. The God of this world, small g, the Bible says is Satan. He's done a tremendous job. I had an old preacher tell me one time, he said, Tommy, he said, Satan is a defeated foe. Don't ever forget that. He said, but he sure does get his licks in. Man, he gets his licks in. One thing he has told the peoples of the world is that somehow God is not who he says he would be, and somehow that God is not a blessing to them, or God could help them, or that they don't need God, that God hates them. Listen, the Bible does mention that God hates, but God does not hate people. God hates sin, but God loves people. And my friend, let me tell you something. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you came from. I don't care what color your skin is. I don't care what language you speak. I don't care what you practice. I don't care how you organize your life. All of those things I understand. But the number one thing is this: for God so loved the world. He loves you. God hates my sin. He died for my sin because he loved me. And God left the church when Jesus ascended off the earth. God left the church in charge of taking the gospel to a needy world. God left that responsibility to people like you, people like me, that we were to go into the fields, into the harvest fields, go into the world by our lives and by our words and by the power of God upon us to tell people about Jesus. To tell them who he is, to tell them about his love for us, to tell them about what he has done in dying for our sins, buried for us, rose again, the forgiveness of our sin, our need for him. The problem is that the church has kind of lost its way with the Lord themselves. The church has lost its joy, it's lost its power. Somewhere the church got tripped up a little bit. Worldliness may have come in, false doctrine may have come in. And there's been this idea now that they've made some major changes in churches, and no longer are we going out into the world. We kind of changed the church so that the world would come to us and find a welcoming. That's never been, ever been the way that God had it. It was always for us to go out into the world. And anytime you move away from the Word of God, you move away from the power of God. Anytime you step outside of the authority of God under yourself, you're powerless. And so what the world is seeing basically is they're seeing people that call themselves Christians but live without the power of God upon their life. We talked about this, how the kingdom of God is not in word, but it's in power. So basically, people that need Jesus, and by the way, the whole world needs Jesus. We're the people they ought to see Jesus in and through, and they ought to be able to hear with power and clarity the gospel. But the church, as it makes its way into the community, is just a reflection now of the world. And even unsaved people recognize hypocrisy. Even unsaved people have an honesty to them. So if somebody says one thing but does another, immediately they lose integrity. Even when people come inside, and non-believing people come inside a church, they know what they're going to get. They have some idea that somebody ought to stand up with a Bible. By the way, we love the Bible. And they have some idea that there ought to be a reverence for God, a worshipful spirit. Even unsaved people understand sin. They understand right. They understand wrong. When they come into churches and nobody picks up a Bible and nobody preaches the truth and nobody tells them anything except makes them comfortable where they are, they're not comfortable where they are. Listen, the absence of the Holy Spirit of God in you leaves a hole and a vacuum inside. And so when they come in and the message doesn't have the power or it's not relevant, then they leave and say, that place has nothing for me. Well, let me tell you something. We do have someone for you. His name is Jesus Christ. And so on a national level, there's been this look at churches and the effect we're having in the world. And in my heart, I wanted us to be prepared as a church, individually and corporately. I love the South Florida community. I love the peoples of South Florida. I have been here 25 years. Anybody been in South Florida longer than 25 years? Put your hands down. Anybody been here less than 25 years? If I was to go get the church roll from the time I came to this church in 2005, I can show you people that have come and people that have gone. People that have come and people that have gone. Some have gone for transition for work. Some have gone for other reasons. But South Florida needs a witness for Jesus Christ. And if God wants to take Plantation Baptist Church and use us as that witness, then I say to God be the glory for that. But we're going to need God's power upon our lives, and the people of the world need that. And so I've been preparing us to look at our lives individually and corporately, and some things that we had to understand, and I won't rehash all of that. But I wanted to close the series with a message that talked about our intentionality. And I began a message last week entitled, "We Must Be Intentional in Our Living." And when I thought about somebody living intentionally for the glory of God, I thought about Daniel. I don't know anybody, maybe the Apostle Paul, but I don't know anybody in the Old Testament that lived their life more intentionally for the Lord than Daniel did. And you may have known the Bible story about Daniel in the lion's den. I took you to Daniel chapter 6 last week, and we're here again. And just by way of introduction, you understand that Daniel is being exalted as there's been a change of leadership in Babylon. And now the Medes and the Persians are in charge. Nebuchadnezzar has passed off. God killed Belshazzar in the night for being a fool. And Darius has taken over, and you know that Daniel was a Jewish captive brought there by Nebuchadnezzar, and you know as Daniel was brought into Babylon that God blessed him and exalted him, and Daniel, because of his spirit and walk with the Lord, God used him in wonderful ways. You know that during the transition of the power, Daniel was still exalted, and you know that as Daniel was being exalted in leadership, there was an attack against him. There were men that were jealous and envious, and they wanted to destroy Daniel. And the only way they could destroy Daniel was that they had to come at him through his faith. They had to attack his faith. And by the way, I would submit to you that we live in a day and a time when the faith of the Word of God is being attacked by the God of this world. And it's coming. It's coming. It's easy to be a Christian in America right now, but I promise you, it may not always be that way. So they come after Daniel. And the Bible says that they went to the king. You remember this from last week. And they exalted the king. They flattered him. And they wanted him to pass a decree that for 30 days, nobody could pray to any other god or any other king other than him. Of course, this unsaved man took that flattery and that exaltation, and he signed that document. And when he signed that document, he didn't know what he was doing when it came to Daniel. And the consequence was, if you prayed to any other god or to any other man during that 30 days, you would be cast into the den of lions. When you come to verse number 10 of chapter number 6, if you remember, this was our text a week ago. The Bible says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he knew it. He went into his house, and his windows being open in the chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. They came near, and verse number 12 says they tattled on Daniel. Verse 13, we talked about how the king was displeased with himself when he figured out what was happening. And then when you get into verses 16 and 17, they throw Daniel into the lion's den. And we talked to verses 17, 18, 19, and 20, how that God spared his life. But we looked at that fact about how Daniel knew that the writing was signed, and yet he intentionally lived his life as a Christian. And we talked about how those windows were open toward Jerusalem. And we talked about the inspiration and the courage that Daniel received out of what Solomon had done in 1 Kings chapter 8. When he dedicated the temple, he asked God, he said, now God, wherever there would ever be a Jew in all of the world, if they ever get in trouble and they pray toward this house, I want you to answer that prayer. God told Solomon, I will answer that prayer. So Daniel, being taught that, he knew where he was. He knew what the problem was. And so with his windows being open, he prays, believing and trusting the true and living God, believing and trusting that God is faithful, believing and trusting that God keeps his word, believing and trusting that God is all powerful, believing and trusting that God saw him, and believing and trusting in the presence of God, and that God maintained his cause. And so with all of that truth and support, it enabled Daniel to have the courage to be intentional. I'll tell you, one of the reasons Christian people don't live intentional Christian lives is because we don't know who God is. We know him as Savior, but we don't know him in the depth of the Word of God. Very few Christians read their Bible. Very few Christians spend time with the Lord. Very few Christians are able to take a verse in the Bible when they get in trouble and take the promise of God and hold on to that and to anchor that. Hear from your preacher very well. There, God has made many promises to us, and he never breaks his promise. But we're so intimidated to live our lives intentionally for the Lord. I wanted to give you the rest of the story today. And I wanted to begin, if you would please, in Daniel chapter number 6. And I want you to begin in verse number 25. Daniel chapter 6, verse number 25. This is after Daniel has come out of the lion's den. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the, say those 2 words, class, living God, steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. His dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and he rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lion's den? So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. What a story. What a powerful, wonderful story. Daniel is thrown into the lion's den in verses 17, 18, and 19. Verse number 21, Daniel lets the king know what happened to him in the lion's den. Go, if you would, to verse number 21. Then Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouths. Pastor, do you believe that happened? If it's in the Bible, I believe it. And they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Oh, then the king was exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. I have 4 points for you today. 3 points in a conclusion. We must be intentional. Do not underestimate the power of one life lived intentionally for the glory of the Lord. Do not underestimate the power of your life lived intentionally for the glory of the Lord. Let me show you the reach of what God can do in one life. Go back to verse number 25. Then King Darius wrote unto, what's that little word? All people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth. One man lived his life intentionally, and God used that to reach the peoples of the earth. You know, God can do a lot through just one person. I'm sick and tired of God's people feeling that like God can't use them or somehow they are small. Let me ask you a question. When you got saved, who took up residence in your heart? The Holy Spirit of God. So the Bible says we become a habitation of God. So if the Holy Spirit of God lives within me, God dwells within me, the presence there is eternal. That's no small thing. You are a child of the living God. And as long as you have breath in your life, God can use you. Our churches are filled with people that people think, well, God can use Tom Hunter because he's perfect. Let me tell you something, man. If God can use me, God can use you. No, Pastor, I'm not as courageous as you are. I'm not as courageous as you think. No, Pastor, you have a boldness. The only reason I have a boldness is because the same God that lives in you is the same God that lives in me, and he's the one that makes us bold. Outside of pastoring, I'm a quiet person. I flew on an airplane yesterday for 3 hours. I didn't talk to anybody. I'm kind of shy. I sit back and I just watch the people. But here God gives us a boldness. We pastors are running into churches and everybody thinks that they can't do what the pastor can do. So then all the work comes on the pastor, which is a different situation. And in reality, you have a world. You have people that are connected to you. You have a sphere of influence. You have a place where God wants to use you. And if you will live your life intentionally, do not underestimate the power of what God can do in and through you. One man. The peoples of the earth. One person in an office, one person in a family, one person in a community, one person that will just simply say, I want my life to be for the glory of the Lord, and Lord, whatever you want to do with my life, you can do with it. You will be amazed at what God can do with your life. And you will regret not giving him the opportunity. Write this down. Do not underestimate the path that God will take in using you. Do not underestimate the path that God will take in using you. Daniel lived his life intentionally and found himself thrown in the lion's den. This is what people struggle with here. We miss the dot here. We think somehow that if we obey God as Christians and we live our lives because in an obedience to the Lord, that somehow that needs to translate into my life being easy, or my life being free from problem, or my life being free from failure, or my life being free from difficulty. When I was coming into the ministry, a old preacher grabbed me one day and he said something shook me to my core. He said, Tommy, do you want God to use you? I said, man, I do. I want God to use me. And then he looked me right in my face and he said this, don't ever forget, the man that God uses the most is the man that God will hurt the most. Boy, I shut my little mouth real quick. And I said, what do you mean hurt the most? He said, Tommy, you're never going to be able to pastor people if you don't walk in their shoes. You're never going to be able to comfort through tragedy if you don't go through tragedy. You're never going to be able to comfort in if you don't go through certain situations. See, when God takes a life that is intentionally for his glory, then God is going to work in that life a path so that people can see God in your life. It's one thing for people to see God in your life when things are going good. They expect that. But the supernatural part about that is when things go south that we still trust the Lord. And so what happens is God takes that life that is surrendered to him, and God lets it go through consequences. God lets it go through difficulties. God breaks it. God crushes it. God brings things around. And just like Daniel, he obeyed the Lord, finds himself thrown in that lion's den. Yeah, well, the lions didn't hurt Daniel. Yeah, but can you imagine Daniel standing there? Can you imagine before Daniel hit the ground? Do you know when you read, when they pulled Daniel out of that lion's den and they threw those other people in, the Bible says before they even hit the ground, the lions had mastery over them. You imagine Daniel standing there and those lions roaring. You imagine Daniel standing there with the mockery, heart thumping out of his chest, understanding what is about to unfold. And they didn't just let him down easy. They cast him into the den of lions. Imagine what Daniel thought when he hit the ground. I'm a dead man. He probably thought, ouch, that hurts. You imagine what Daniel thought when those lions walked around and were growling at him. I just picture those lions coming up and looking at Daniel. You ever seen that movie about those two lions in Africa, The Ghost in the Darkness? If you want to be scared out of your gourd, watch The Ghost in the Darkness. I imagine those lions walking around, and somehow God just shut their mouth. You see, here's what Christian people don't understand. God had to put Daniel in that lion's den so God could bring Daniel out of that lion's den. God had to put Daniel in that lion's den so that God could show the peoples of the earth that he's the true and living God. Look what he did to him. Verse 26. When the king realized that, the king makes his decree. My kingdom, he says, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God. If those lions would have eaten Daniel, then God would not have had that wonderful declaration. But if Daniel wouldn't have been thrown in there, that declaration would have never been made. Pastor, I don't want my life to be touched. The reality is we don't want to hurt. We don't want to suffer. We don't want to be persecuted. We don't want to lose. We're so comfortable and we're so afraid to go through difficult things that we're not willing to surrender to the Lord. I'm so glad he was willing to go to the cross. Kind of painful there. Our expectations got to be fixed. Living an intentional life is not so that your life can be easy or simple. Living an intentional life is so the people of the world can know there's a living God that they need, that's all powerful, that can care for them, redeem them. He says here, deliver them, rescue them, worketh with signs. This is what God wants to do in your life. No, not my life, Pastor. He'll want to do that in your life. But my life is so much simpler than that. No, my friend, God has a plan for all of our lives. Don't underestimate the power of one life lived intentionally. Don't underestimate the path that God takes. It's going to be a tough path. It's designed to be a path that blows the mind of the lost world so that they see the power of the living God in your life. And in order for that to happen, you got to go through difficult times. Here's the problem. I think we went through difficult times and we just said, we don't want everyone to do this again, so we quit. And we stopped letting God have his way and stopped letting God have his work. Listen, when you go through difficult times, understand God's there with you. Lastly, verse 25. Don't underestimate the desire for peace. Look, if you would, at verse 25. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth. Say it out loud, please. Peace be multiplied unto you. Now think about Darius, right? Think about this. He knows there's a lack of peace in the kingdom. He knows that the kingdom is temporary. He knows the kingdom is vulnerable. He understands all of that. Darius has run into a man that is filled with the living God. This God had the power to deliver and rescue Daniel even from the power of the lions. So then this king comes to his kingdom and he says, I stand here with a wonderful opportunity to announce to you peace. Hold your hand here. Go to Romans chapter 5. I appreciate you turning your pages. Verse number 1. Paul writes, therefore, being justified by what class? We have what class? So let me just ask you a question. If you, through faith in Jesus Christ, have peace with God, would you say amen? Amen. Now watch. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. By the way, you can put your name there. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God, thank you. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his what class? By his life. All right, you can close your books, your Bibles. Look this way, and I'll be done. Here's what 2020 is all about. 2020 is coming. It's all about you and all about me, individually and corporately as the church, looking to the peoples of the earth and saying, we have found peace. We have found peace. Our world is maddening. It's vicious. It's violent. It's out of control. It's chaotic. Men and women are without peace in their soul. So unrested are men and women that they can't even stand themselves. They can't stand the mental anguish, so they got to be high or drunk. They can't stand the emotional pain, so there's just got to be some kind of release. They can't even sustain the guilt of their own lives. They're lost. Trying every which way they can to satisfy that hole in their heart that can only be satisfied by the Lord Jesus. And the number one people that God left to give them the word was you and I. And so we are to stand up and say, we have found peace. His name is Jesus Christ. My sin had separated me from God. But God reconciled me through his love by sending his son, the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus died for my sin. He was buried and he raised for my life. I have put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. He's redeemed me. He's forgiven me. He's brought me peace with God. And what God has done in our life, God can do in your life. You, ma'am, you, sir, are to be the ones to display that intentionally. Do not underestimate the power of your life lived intentionally. Don't quit. Don't underestimate the path. The Christian life is not supposed to be easy. God's going to put you in places that are inexplainable with human words, but so that God could work in your life, so the peoples of the earth can look in your life and say, wow, I don't know what God they believe in, but that God must be alive and he must be real because look what he's doing in their life. By the way, if you're in this room and you don't know what God we believe in, his name is Jesus Christ. And don't underestimate the cry for peace. People need the Lord. I don't know how much time the Lord's going to allow us to have before he comes back. But he's given us a commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I hope 2020 is coming has inspired you to live your life intentionally for the Lord. Shall we pray?